Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celenti, and it's Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. And while I'm very happy to have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano, a man of men, a real patriot of the United States, who knows more about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, than anybody alive that I know. And he does a great job each week with his Judging Freedom, the people that he has on his show. Today he's going to have Colonel Douglas McGregor, and one after another, Scott Ritter, on and on and on. And he also writes articles each week about basically how we're losing our Bill of Rights and our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Judge, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Gerald. A pleasure, my dear friend.
You know, every week you're writing these articles, and I'm saying, boy, the information that you put out and about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and how we're losing them, and it's week after week. And you have an article that's coming out tomorrow, Gitmo and Politics. It is always dangerous to human freedom and due process when politics interferes with criminal prosecution. Yet present-day America is replete with 20 examples of this.
Well, the column is about a very unpopular defendant, and that is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Remember, the government first said 9/11 was caused by Osama bin Laden. They never charged him with a crime, but they did send 8 killers to kill him, and they did murder him in his house. Then after he was dead, they said, well, no, it was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, not Osama bin Laden. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, by the time bin Laden was dead, had already been arrested and tortured for 3 years by the CIA at various locations, the last of which was Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Then Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, then George W. Bush and the Congress set up the military tribunal system, and Mohammed was charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Then his lawyers persuaded the Supreme Court that conspiracy is not a crime under the laws of war, and therefore the military tribunal system couldn't try him. Then Congress changed the military tribunal system to make them regular federal courts, but with military trappings. Then he was charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Then the judge threw out his confession because it was obtained under torture. Then the judge has changed. He's now on his fourth judge, his second team of defense lawyers, because the first team was infected by an undercover FBI agent who pretended to be a paralegal, joined the defense team and was telling the FBI what the defense team was doing to defend this guy. You can't make this up. This happened in real life. They'd all be prosecuted for it. So he was on his second team of defense lawyers, his fourth judge, and a second team of prosecutors. The second team of prosecutors told the judge, we can't defend the torture. You cannot allow this torture to come into the case. We can't defend it. We're going to enter into a plea agreement. So the defense lawyers, the defendant, the prosecutors, and their boss in the Pentagon, a retired Army general who's the former head of the Army Court of Criminal Appeals, and the judge enter into a plea agreement. Then politics enters the picture. Then the Biden administration says, well, we can't let this guy off the hook of the death penalty. The plea agreement says no trial. The feds don't have to defend torture. No death penalty. He spends the rest of his life at Guantanamo. Then the Biden administration, which says we can't accept the plea agreement because we can't defend this in the middle of a political campaign, whereupon the judge is ordered by the Secretary of Defense to vacate the plea agreement. Now, the Secretary of Defense is the boss of the judge and the prosecutors. This is how crazy this is. And he's ordered them all, active duty military, to undo the plea agreement, which under the federal rules of criminal procedure, once accepted, cannot be undone. That's the dilemma that we're in now. Most people don't know about this. Most people don't care. They should know, and they should care. The government gets away with this when the defendant is unpopular, and is probably guilty and is perceived as being guilty. But if being unpopular and being perceived as guilty is a basis for the eradication of your rights under the Bill of Rights, then Gerald, none of us is safe. That's why I wrote the column.
This is heartbreaking. And again, you met this little clown boy, Lloyd Austin, right? That's who you're talking about.
Well, the real culprit is your favorite little clown boy, George W.
Oh, yeah.
Who authorized the torture and who set up the military tribunal system. He is the real culprit here. Austin is just doing as he's told. Austin's not a lawyer. Austin doesn't even understand the ramifications of undoing a guilty plea once it's been entered.
You know, you mentioned about Osama bin Laden and that, you know, they said that he was responsible for 9/11. We had written in the Trends Journal as this was going on. And by the way, I'm just going to go back to a little background on this.
Sure.
Remember when USA Today was a big newspaper?
Oh, yes.
They used to have me on there. It was almost embarrassing. I was like 4 times a week. And I did major talks for them. Matter of fact, did one with Major, who was the Prime Minister of the UK. And I was one of the speakers before him. And they used to run my top trends every year. And the headline, the trends came out in December for the new year. And in December, the headline in USA Today in a section was, 2001 won't be our year, Trendsier says.
Ooh.
And I warned that a wave of anti-Americanism was sweeping the globe and Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad. So, when 9/11 happened, again, we're writing in detail here. One of my sayings is when all else fails, they take you to war. The dot-com bust had happened just before that. It happened in March of 2000. Again, a trend that we had forecast. It's right here in your Trends Journal back when it was a quarterly dot-com. This, 1999, we said it would bust by the second quarter of 2000. One of my sayings is when all else fails, they take you to war. The NASDAQ was down over 70%. People hated little Georgie Bush, just got elected. He comes out and says, we're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. The Taliban, who was in charge of Afghanistan back then, said, look, we have nothing to do with this. And he's not even here. We want to talk with you. We wrote about this in detail. Again, this is not reported in the mainstream media because, as you know, I call them prostitutes, media whores that get paid to put out by the corporate pimps and government whoremasters. You remember that guy, he passed away recently, Phil Donahue. They blacklisted him on what? CNBC at the time because he came out against the Iraq War.
Right.
So they said, we had nothing to do with this. We want to talk with you. And Bush came out and says, we have no time to talk. And they invaded Afghanistan. People have no idea about this. And Judge, according to the polls, 90% of the American people swallowed the crap spewing out of the mouth of that stupid little arrogant daddy's boy.
Correct.
So going back, you're writing about Osama bin Laden. The guy had nothing to do with it. Let's go back a little bit more. Who is the guy that created Al-Qaeda when it was called the Mujahideen?
I think Rumsfeld.
Jimmy Carter.
Ah, before Rumsfeld.
Yep, and that arrogant guy whose daughter is on MSNBC, Brzezinski.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, his daughter's on the media? Oh, yeah, they're all on the media. All the little, how about that guy, Stephanopoulos? Oh, he was a little lying little bastard for Clinton. I forgot. The whole media is filled with these people. So they don't report the facts. So what you're saying about this, what you're writing, Judge, and everything that you said, people have no idea about, and they don't care about it. They don't know about it. But what did Taylor Swift do last week?
Well, people should be concerned about anybody's loss of rights, because if the government can get away with diminishing the protections the Bill of Rights guarantees because the defendant is politically unpopular in Guantanamo Bay, they'll get away with it in Lower Manhattan. Every time the government wants to trample civil liberties, they need to be called out. Two nights ago on Rachel Maddow, Hillary Clinton said, people like you and me, she didn't mention us by name, the government should consider prosecuting us because we spew anti-American propaganda.
Yeah.
So I'm smiling because this is the former U.S. Senator, the former First Lady, the former Secretary of State, a graduate of Yale Law School, and she just made a statement that would have flunked the basic course in the Constitution if she thinks that somebody can be prosecuted in America for articulating views adverse to the government. She articulated views adverse to the government when Trump ran the executive branch. Could she have been prosecuted for that? Of course not.
Oh, this is the Hillary Clinton.
Same person.
Yeah, that brought us, that her, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, were the three primary people pushing Obama into the to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya.
And he did.
And she's on TV after they killed Gaddafi, and they asked her how she felt, and she goes, we came, we saw he died.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, Judge, this is a T-shirt that I did when her husband was running back in 19, you see that?
There you go, yeah.
1992.
Wow.
Slick Willie. These are the people, anti-American? You mean we're against robbing our freedom? We're against going to war and killing innocent people? Why, that's anti-American. Oh, and these, by the way, Judge, these are the little boys and girls that couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. But boy, do they love war.
As long as somebody else is fighting it, yes, they love war. Both sides of the aisle, Hillary Clinton, Lindsey Graham, you know, it's the war. I don't want to get you going by mentioning his name, but it's the war party, which, as your viewers know, is 90% of the Congress. There's, you know, a few progressives on the left and a few libertarians on the right, but just a handful. 90% of the Congress is the war party. They're also the surveillance party, the big government party, the debt party, the forget about the Constitution, we'll find a way around it party. They're all the same on the meaningful issues of the day: war and peace, debt, mass surveillance, out of control growth of the government, a bloated Defense Department. They're all the same.
You know, we're doing everything we can. Everybody listening, you got to go to Judging Freedom, which the judge has on each day and during the week is phenomenal. And we're not only talking about it, we're doing everything we can. And very soon, we're going to be having a rally up here in Kingston, New York, on the Four Corners of Freedom.
Am I involved in that rally?
And there he is. Yep, Judge Andrew Napolitano is going to be one of the great speakers there, along with Scott Ritter, Max Blumenthal, Anya Parampil, and others.
And you, of course.
Scott Ritter, of course. So everybody, please try to come here and support us. Well, not support us, you're supporting the United States. You're supporting your freedom, because World War III has begun, and it's just going to keep ramping up. And look what just happened, Judge, over there in anyway, everybody go to Occupy Peace, OccupyPeace.com, and donate what you can. This thing costs a lot of money to put on. We want to get 1 million people here, Ritter said. We got to make the news. We got to stop this war. They're stealing our money as our country's rotting in front of our eyes to keep slaughtering people all over the world. I lost my train of thought. I was talking about
Well, you were talking about Occupy peace and how being against the government is not being against the country.
Oh, I know what we're talking about. The murder going on that we're supporting, you just saw what happened in what, and the war and World War III ramping up by crazy people like Netanyahu. Netanyahu, clown, arrogant Netanyahu, the guy, the little slime ball that came to the United States that everybody forgot about or never knew about, that came here like in 2000 to sell the Iraq war. That Netanyahu, that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. That Netanyahu that just escalated the Israel war by setting off these pages in Lebanon that have killed a dozen people more and wounded. The numbers are up to 4,000, including little children and women.
That Netanyahu, who bought and paid for the Congress, and whom the Congress and the federal government totally and completely financed. The Israeli economy is collapsing, but they have all the military gear they could possibly want, courtesy of the United States taxpayer. And it's being used to perpetrate a genocide. Thank you, Genocide Joe.
You know, Judge, this is very important, what just happened in Lebanon. This is going to escalate that war big time. Sure. And they also killed an Iranian envoy that was also over there. And they're going to drag Iran into this war. This is going to be, you know, there's a thing called the Samson option that most people don't know about. Of course, you do. And that is that Israel says if they lose or they're losing, they go nuclear. And they're going to lose. I mean, you don't have to be good at numbers. What are there, about 90 million Iranians? And only about, when you look at the numbers, when you take the Arabs out of it in Israel, about 7 million?
It's going to be a mess because the Israelis just think they can kill anybody and the United States will pay for it. I understand from Ritter, and I'm going to ask Colonel McGregor when he's on with me later today. The commander of CENTCOM, General Kurilla, visited Netanyahu twice in 1 week. Did he visit him to say, we'll back you up no matter what? Or did he visit him to say, go into Lebanon, you're going on your own? Ritter is convinced that's the latter. Ritter is convinced that Joe Biden, for all of his faults and Genocide Joe, has had enough and basically said, you tell Netanyahu, if he starts a war with Lebanon, he's on his own. Now, I don't know if McGregor agrees. I don't know if Colonel Wilkerson is also on with me today, agrees, but that's what Scott said 2 days ago.
Well, the Trends Journal came out. And by the way, here's the cover of the Trends Journal. And again, we're doing everything we can for peace. And there it is. And it's promoting unity. And we have the definition of what peace is. And
right.
And so anyway, in the Trends Journal this week, before this happened, we have a whole article there about how the United States envoy was meeting with Gallant, the IDF head, and saying not to escalate the war in Lebanon. Mm. And so that's a fact that they said not to do this. Whether or not they said that we're not going to support you is a whole nother story. But they went there to say don't escalate it. And basically they said, screw you, we're going to escalate it.
Well, look, as our friend Max Blumenthal said very articulately, Biden and Blinken Sullivan could stop the war in an hour with a phone call.
Yep.
No more weapons, no more spare parts, no more ammo, period. Goodbye. That's it.
You know, Judge, let's turn this around. Let's suppose that Hezbollah did this to the Israelis' defense force and 4,000 Israeli people were injured. Oh my God, how terrible that would be.
Yeah. Well, I agree with everything you're saying. Netanyahu is a monster. He is using October 7th as an instrument to increase the size of Israel radically, and he doesn't care what innocents he has to kill in order to achieve that. He doesn't care that he's involved in genocide, and he knows he's got the American government, particularly the Congress, bought and paid for. He happens to have a president that has an old-fashioned mentality that Israel is our ally and can do no wrong. They are not our ally legally, and can they do any wrong? Well, the International Court of Justice has defined their occupation of the Golan Heights, East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip as unlawful under international law. The vote was 14-1. The one was, of course, the Israeli member of the international court. So it's nearly unanimous. The court is sitting on indictments of him and Gallant for genocide. It hasn't ruled on whether or not it's going to accept those indictments. But it's pretty clear, just from the words that come out of his mouth and the mouth of his senior people, Foreign Minister Gallant, Finance Minister Smotrich, head of their equivalent of the FBI, Ben Gavir, they want to eradicate the Palestinians as best they can, whether that means scaring them away, threatening them away, or slaughtering them. They'll do it.
You know, again, they call these things settlements. It's stolen land, again, in violation of the Geneva Convention and Article 242 of the United Nations. Stolen land. They call it settlements.
Right.
And they get away with this stuff. Now, this is terrible what's going on. And it's only going to get worse. They're not going to... something's going to happen, and we're going to have to... And by the way, this is the other part of the story. How many centuries has this been going on in the Middle East? How many centuries?
I can't answer that. It's certainly been going on since the British told the Israelis that they could have Palestinian land, and that goes back to well before World War One. It certainly goes back to 1948 when the Israelis forcibly expelled 750,000 Arabs and began killing Palestinians and stealing their land.
But I mean, let's go back. You go back like all of these stories about, you know, getting thrown out and going to Egypt and this and that. And I mean, it's been going on for centuries, this conflict. By the way, Judge, this is a Trends Journal from 2006, Crusades 2000. While the seeds of Crusades 2000 have been planted in full view of the world and all have been watching could have anticipated eventual harvest, the memories of what had happened and what would occur have been fogged by rigid ideology, fanatical religiosity, patriotic fervor, government propaganda, and ulterior motives. Regardless of what England's reasons or intentions were, self-serving or otherwise, Crusades 2000 was set in motion by the 1917 Balfour Declaration that laid the foundation for Israel. Quote, His Majesty's government, which means some slime ball from the UK, His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. All right? Some murderous sun never sets on the British Empire. Majesty. He's a majesty, by the way. The rest of us are just little pieces of crap. He's a majesty. Yeah, crime syndicate head. Oh, if he was Italian, they'd call him the mafia. Oh, no, be proper, Salenti. He's a majesty.
Well, he wears a crown and he wears a robe, therefore he's majestic.
Judge, thanks for being on. Thanks for all that you're doing. Everybody, please come and see us. We're doing everything that we can day after day in the Trends Journal, Judging Freedom. And you have to be part of it. United we stand, divided we die. Thanks, Judge.
Thank you, Gerald. All the best, my friend.